Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to the Inspired Conversations radio show. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. I'm also the publisher at Inspired Living Publishing, a boutique hybrid publishing company giving entrepreneurial women a voice, a venue, and a media platform to be seen and heard so they can share their wisdom, transform lives, and elevate their brand visibility. I am passionate about bringing you guests who inspire, empower, and support you in living your best life, personally and professionally. Do you know that when looked at differently, your clutter can be a transformational creative partner, actually helping you to shore up your foundation so you can live big and shine bright? Whether piles of books, unopened mail, a worrying mind, unhealthy relationships, or disbelief that your dream life is possible, it's all just clutter. And it's this clutter that can be a powerful catalyst for change in your life. When looked at differently, your clutter can be a transformational, creative partner helping you dream big, live your best life, and follow your dreams. Joining me today is Kerry Richardson, a lifestyle designer, trained coach, and the best-selling author of What Your Clutter is Trying to Tell You, Uncover the Message in the Mess and Reclaim Your Life. Over more than 15 years, Kerry has worked with thousands of people, helping them to quiet the noise, clear clutter, and challenging them to find and live their big adventure. You can learn more at kerryrichardson.com. Welcome, Kerry.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Well, I am excited. As we were talking about off the air, this is something that I've noticed in my own life as a former pack rat, right? So, you know, 30 years ago in my 20s, it was like, oh, I should save that. Yeah, I'm going to save that. And then you move numerous times and keep it in boxes, Kerry, and put it somewhere. And you never even question when you're a pack rat, why am I keeping this? If it's in a box in a closet for 10 years, there must be no value. You must see this all the time.
Mm-hmm. All the time. Yeah, it's. I think a lot of it. Well, I think it's a couple different things. I think it's just unconscious habit. Like it's just, oh, this is a box that has stuff in it. I should move it with me to the next place and let it be a box that has stuff in it. You know, we can use moving as a real opportunity to evaluate our belongings and our possessions and decide what is worthy of joining us in our next chapter. But oftentimes we do just get into kind of robot mode and just pick things up and move it over, not thinking that even though it's tucked away in a box somewhere, it still energetically has a pull on us.
And I found that to be true in my own life, because as I started incorporating principles of feng shui and clutter clearing and all that, I can tie it back to the moments in my life when things started to shift in my life. It was like a lightening up, a flow of energy. I want to talk about, because you, in all the research I did and enjoying your website and watching some of your videos, I realized you have a much broader concept of clutter, right, than most of us might realize or identify with. How do you define it?
So I define clutter as anything that gets in the way of you living your best life. And so I want people to think of clutter as just kind of a catch-all term of whatever is blocking your path on your journey to fulfilling your life's vision. When people think of clutter, naturally they think of physical piles, clothes and books and paperwork and toys. And sure, that's all clutter, absolutely. But when you broaden the definition of it and think, wow, my limiting beliefs are clutter, my draining relationships are clutter, you know, my overcommitted calendar is clutter, you start to see that there's a lot more noise getting in your way than just the physical piles. Now, I say that not to overwhelm you even more. What I want to do is remove the power from the word. Like, clutter is a very heavy word. It's like energetically you can feel your shoulders drop when you even say it. But if you reframe it and think of it as just this catch-all term to define anything that's getting in the way of you living your best life, then the obstacles that maybe before seemed so insurmountable or so big now become much more manageable and less overwhelming and daunting.
It's a great way to look at it, because for many years, as you just shared, I thought it was stuff. It was a physical manifestation of stuff I could see. And then when I went on the personal development path, I realized, oh, it's also the stuff I'm carrying within me. Like you said, the thoughts, the beliefs, old habits that are unconscious that we deal with. So do a lot of people come to you thinking that they're coming, well, I'm going to help her, give me guidance on clearing the physical clutter. And then when they start working with you, they're like, wow, clearing this other clutter is making me feel freer and more expansive.
Yes.
Are some people surprised that you go there, you know, and look at the emotional and spiritual stuff?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, that's where I began my work. You know, for years I worked with people, you know, as a traditional life coach, you know, helping them figure out, here's where I am, here's where I want to be, how can I get myself there? And then over the years, I just defined those blocks as clutter. But yes, people come to me thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot get a handle on my files or my paperwork or my closet. And it's like, okay, yeah, we can talk about that. But the physical clutter, stubborn physical clutter, is the symptom. It's never the source of the issue.
Yeah.
If you can easily clear physical clutter by devoting a little bit of time to it or putting in an organizational system, then it really is just the stuff. If you find that you struggle to clean out that closet, clear off your desk, if it becomes stubborn clutter is indicative of a non-clutter issue, of a non-traditional clutter issue. So I help people look at what is the symptomatic clutter versus what is the core clutter. And I'll give you an example. So a client I worked with years ago came to me because she was overwhelmed with the amount of paperwork she had. She had filing cabinets of articles she printed off the internet, little clippings, post-it notes, just all sorts of tidbits of information were filling these files. And she said, I'm just overrun with these files. And so naturally, I started with her in the obvious place. I was like, okay, let's talk about you setting aside some realistic time frames to start to sort through this paperwork and let's get rid of some of it. So that sounds like an obvious place to start, but she was struggling to do that again and again. So that's when I know that there's a layer to peel here. As we peeled the layers over several conversations, what we came to find out was all of that paperwork, all of those little tidbits of information were actually validating a blocking belief that she had that she's not very smart. So her siblings soared in school when she was younger. They didn't really have to try and they got good grades. She had to work really hard to get average grades. And so she never felt like the smart one in the family. She always felt less than when it came to her intelligence. And combine all of that with her mother periodically making a comment to her like, well, it's a good thing you're pretty. Because your brains aren't going to get you anywhere, is essentially what she was saying. So my client formed this belief when she was younger that I am not the smart one in the family. So as we peeled back the layers, she felt that these papers, these tidbits of information, were like supplemental intelligence. And so if she really got rid of them, she would be as stupid as her belief told her she was. And so the core clutter that we really had to deal with was that blocking belief. And so as I worked with her in flipping that blocking belief and replacing it with a much more empowering one, validating that new belief, she was now able to own her wisdom, her inner wisdom and her intelligence. She no longer needed the papers. Then the paperwork became easy to clear. Then it was just a matter of finding the time because we dealt with the core clutter. The paper was just symptomatic.
What a powerful story, and it helps us understand how it can show up in our lives. For me, I think it was, it was books. You know, it's funny that my family laughs that I'm a publisher, right? Because I love personal and spiritual development books. But even before that, as a child, me and my sister loved to read, and she's a speed reader, I am also. Well, when I started getting the personal and spiritual development books about 30 years ago, they were so critical to my transformation that they became like friends, right? They became like, wow, you know, Wayne Dyer's book, I think it was, one was Louise Hayes, that I didn't want to part with them because it was like, you know, it's an old friend. Well, I love them, have beautiful bookshelves in my house, but I've been purging the last 2 years and have probably gotten rid of about 600 books. I just did another purging because we put our home on the market, and I'm looking at my bookshelf now. Instead of having seven bookshelves, I consciously chose intentionally which books I was keeping. And I had to flip it, though, Carrie. I had to flip it and say, who are you to hold on to these books? Imagine the life that could be changed if you let them go. That was it for me. When I can make the shift to serving and spreading love and all that, within 3 days, I cleared out everything. And my honey says, you just made a decision and did it, but I've been waiting 18 years for you to make a decision. I have a gorgeous office, and he built me all custom bookshelves, and they always look beautifully presented. But I'm looking going, once I could change the story I had around the books, and that's what your story with your client. I didn't realize the story was there, but once I saw it, I could consciously choose another story. As your client must have. So I see what your story was powerful because the choice is ours once we're aware.
Absolutely, the choice is absolutely ours once we realize how we might be leaning on that stuff, how we might be using it, how we might be benefiting from it. We can find a healthier way to benefit from it, so then we can release the clutter. And let me just say this, that everyone gets to decide for themselves what clutter is. If you don't love it, need it, or use it, then it's clutter. If you are someone who loves to have a lot of stuff around you and you enjoy it, it's not clutter, and no one else gets to tell you otherwise. So people come to me and they think like, oh my God, you're going to make me get rid of all my books and clean out my closet. It's like, no, I'm going to help you identify what truly is the clutter in your life and what isn't. You get to keep whatever you love.
Like non-judgment, in other words, like, so they can become aware of what their triggers are and make a conscious decision instead of maybe not being aware where their triggers are and repeating the same patterns.
Exactly. Yep.
And it's so empowering. And one of the things, you know, we can talk about right before we jump to our first break is, a moment ago you said, you know, clutter is more than just stuff. So do you like dive in with the spiritual, the emotional? Because there's a saying you say, and I hope I get it right. Clear your clutter, clear your wings so you can soar. And I'm paraphrasing, but when I read that, I was like, yes. So tell me what you mean by that.
Like if this, you know, if the clutter in your life, and again, in whatever form that comes in, remains there, it is like weight on your wings, you know? So it's like you want to fly. Like, even if you visualize that, if you imagine these beautiful wings and you just want to soar, but you have these weights on top of them, you can try as you might to raise those wings. It's going to be difficult, if not impossible. So let's look and see what exactly are these weights on my wings. What are they comprised of? You know, if you might have a perfectly organized and tidy house, I will tell you I've never met anyone without clutter because it comes in so many different forms. If you have a perfectly tidy house, but you're overcommitted everywhere, then calendar clutter is your main culprit. So it's so much more than just stuff. And what it really is it is a beautiful messenger. Like, I call it a temper tantrum of our soul, but it really is a beautiful messenger who is tapping you on the shoulder, sometimes smacking you upside the head, to say, hey, listen, there's an area of your life here that is out of alignment, and it needs your attention.
Ooh, I love this. I love this conversation because it's it ties into the core word I chose over the last 2 years, which is spaciousness. And all my decisions now are coming from that. Energetic spaciousness, spiritual, schedule, all of it. So let's talk about that and more when we come back from our break. And I'll be back in a moment with Kerry Richardson of KerryRichardson.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Imagine living a life of awareness and flow instead of struggling with spiritual disconnect or chronic disease that can keep you from enjoying the fullness of life. It is possible, despite your current outside circumstances. Cindy Hively is an intuitive healing coach, goddess creatrix of InHerFullness.com, and sacred contributor to multiple best-selling books for women. Cindy mentors women around the world and supports them with awakening their inner wisdom and innate power so they can consciously create a luscious life filled with passion, radiant health, prosperity, and magic. Cindy's empowering blend of strategic thinking and intuition brings her clients an effective mix of spirituality and real-world practicality that supports women where they are on their journey while holding space for the sacred possibilities that lie ahead. Learn more at InHerFullness.com.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Inspired Conversation Show. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is lifestyle designer, trained coach, and best-selling author of What Your Clutter Is Trying to Tell You, Kerry Richardson. So, Kerry, we're talking about spaciousness, and I love what you just tied it back into the soul, right? That it's a messenger from our soul. I found that to be so true in my own life when I listen. So do you find that a lot of us, and I'll just speak for my own truth, I can't speak for anyone else's, I believe, in, especially I'm going to be 56, that in those early years I was so disconnected from my truth, I didn't know how to listen. So that we were always, I was always receiving the messengers, like messages, as we all are. How do you help your clients, especially the busy, overachieving ones, quiet down and listen so they can hear this wisdom?
Yeah, I mean, it is. You're absolutely right, Linda. That, you know, that it's available to us all the time, that beautiful, innate wisdom that we have within. But there is so much noise in the world, and there's so much noise in our heads, and there's so much noise in our schedules, that it's really difficult to hear it. You know, I encourage my clients to do silly little exercises to help re-engage the conversation with our wise selves. And it can be, I mean, I'm talking silly, like I'll tell them, you know, imagine what you want to have for dinner tonight. And let's imagine that you're trying to decide between two options. You know, am I going to have fish or pasta? Get quiet, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just see if you can connect to your gut. Tune into your body and see which way your body is leaning, fish or pasta. So it's a completely zero-risk decision, right? So it's not going to, like, change the world if you choose pasta over fish. So it's a safe place to practice, but it's a way to just practice checking in with your body and going, which way is my body leaning? And as soon as you start, because the head comes in quick, the head loves to come in and interrupt the process, because our brains are just answering machines, right? Like, when you ask a question, our brain goes on autopilot because its job is to provide solutions. So if you find that you start thinking about what you want for dinner, instead of feeling into what you want for dinner, stop and take a couple more deep breaths and almost like let your mind know, you know, it's not you that I want to hear from. It's my soul that I want to hear from. So you can do silly little things like that. You know, what do I want to wear to work today? Like, just little no risk decisions to practice tuning into your gut. Or even if you get, like, sometimes I'll get silly little hits, like maybe I'm getting up from the couch and I get a little nudge of, you know, bring your glass into the kitchen, right? It's stupid, it's silly, but because I honor it and go, okay, I guess I'll take this glass and bring it into the kitchen, I don't know, maybe I was going to knock it over and it was going to break and then I was going to cut my foot. I mean, who knows? But when you learn to hear those little nudges and listen to and respond to them, your wise self learns to trust you more and will communicate to you even more. So the more you listen and the more you foster that relationship, the deeper that relationship becomes, the easier the decisions become in your life, and the bolder the steps are that you'll take, because you'll feel safe in your relationship with your wisdom.
So true. I've built my intuitive muscles over the years in learning to trust, and I teach my clients that. And I'm sure a lot of people must say to you, as they do to me, because I'm not intuitive, Linda. Some people just have that, but not me. And I'm like, we all do. Mm-hmm. Do you hear that too?
Oh, yes. And we all do. And I know people can say, yeah, sure, we all do. But we really all do. I guarantee you, anyone who's listening who doubts that they have intuition, just do an inventory of your past. Think back to any time in your life where you just got a gut feeling. Maybe someone walked into the room and you thought, I don't have a good feeling about this person. Or, you know, you just felt yourself pulled in a certain direction and you weren't sure why. Everyone can find an experience like that. When people think about being intuitive or being in touch with their intuition, I think they picture like beams of light coming off of you, or like this big dramatic picture. But intuition is so quiet. It is a soft little whisper inside of us that as we learn to trust it, it gets bolder, but it's a very quiet voice that you do have to get quiet and listen to it. So people who say they don't have the gift of intuition, I encourage them to quiet the noise. Like, let's find out how can you quiet things down in your life so there's even room for your intuition to speak.
So beautiful. And we know it to be true. I tried to, even when I was describing it to my daughter and granddaughter, I said we have a, like a light coming from the top of our head to the divine, to your source, whatever that word is. We're all born with it. But sometimes stories, life, the static builds up in there and it gets all mucky. But it doesn't mean it's no longer there. Mm-hmm. It just means it's our job to clear the muck, to clear the channel, just like you do when you're driving in your car and you hit that static when you're going under a bridge. It's the same thing. You just adjust the dial a little more. And for me, learning that has helped me with clutter, space clearing, all of it. And as I go into the next transition in my life, as you and I were talking about earlier, about, and yeah, we're going to talk about what your transition is, because I thought I was going into a small home. So I've, over the last 18 months, knowing the home we were putting our large home on the market, I began this process. I'd probably been doing it for 10 years, but, you know, you get really intentional when you know you're going to put the house on the market.
Oh, yeah.
And moving into from close to 3,000 square feet to what I'm about to do, 400 square feet, our other little cottage, while we build our home, whoa, you really have to get intentional. Because in a 400 square foot room, it can become physically clutter. Physical clutter can take over. And I'm emotionally, spiritually sensitive. So I'm being very intentional about every piece that comes there with me. So let's talk about what I just read on your a recent blog, that you are moving into a tiny house, which is like almost 200 square feet smaller than mine. So tell us what your process is.
Oh, gosh, yeah, so kind of similar. So I had a 2,000 square foot house that we owned, and just felt, I mean, it was just two of us, so it was like we didn't need a living room and a family room, a huge eat-in kitchen and a dining room. Like, there were so many rooms in the house that we weren't even using. And, you know, this whole idea, it's different for everyone, right? But this whole idea of planting roots, while I love that, I love to feel connected to my community, these roots started to feel more like shackles, and it felt restrictive. Yes. And you know, the proverbial white picket fence felt more like a barbed wire fence. And I was like, wait a minute, and our weekends being gobbled up with yard work and house maintenance. And it was just, I felt like my life was so limited because of the demands of this property. So at that point, we were like, you know what? What's something different we could do? And the first place we went to was like, well, you know, why don't we try living in a different country? Like, that would be kind of cool. And so we even visited Belize for 10 to 12 days to check it out, to maybe go there because, you know, it speaks English, it uses the U.S. dollar, pretty easy transition. But we went there and we were talking to some locals, and they said, we have three seasons here. We have hot, humid, and hurricane.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, well, that's not for this Irish girl. Nope, I don't like that much heat. So then we shifted to the next idea of like, well, you know, let's just get an RV and travel the country for a couple of years. And so that's the path we started to go down. And that's when we discovered tiny houses. So this was several years back before the TV shows were on. About this idea of kind of like a different form of an RV, in that it is built like a traditional home, and it's very strong and solid and well insulated and high quality materials. And so started to build that. God, it's been 2 years now. It's been lots of ups and downs. But yes, paring down from 2,000 square foot house, about to go into a 240 square foot house. While it won't be our permanent resident, it is going to be our residence for probably a couple years, or we say as long as we love it. We're going to give it at least 6 months because the idea is we want to tow it around the country, so we want to travel with it. And so, yes, it's the intentionality behind choosing your living space and coming at it from a place of form following function versus, you know, when we bought our house, we came from an 800 square foot apartment into a 2000 square foot house. We didn't have the furniture or the home decor to fill that size house. And so we'd go out and we'd buy different pieces of artwork and stuff. And I'm like, we're just buying stuff to fill space that feels so inauthentic to me. But then when we were downsizing, you know, because of that, because we just bought stuff to fill space, we weren't terribly attached to the items. So it was relatively easy to downsize. And, you know, we sold so much stuff on different Facebook yard sale groups, Craigslist, et cetera. We sold the majority of the contents of our house. I mean, I even sold my house on a Facebook yard sale group. But it was this feeling of like, okay, yes, while it feels like it's just stuff, there is an emotional process that comes with downsizing. I mean, there absolutely
there is.
It's just, and I found it very interesting that, you know, as people bought some of our items, and I remember distinctly the day when someone bought our coffee table, and I know it sounds silly, but it was a big coffee table, and it was in a big room. When they came to pick it up, it was the first item that someone bought that really left a physical void in a room. So that's when it really hit me, was like, wow, what are we doing? Is this a mistake? All the fears came up, right? And so then all the mental clutter comes up. As the physical clutter leaves and you have the space for the energy to flow, the real stuff starts to come up, the fears, the anxieties, the what am I thinking? So you have to be with those feelings, right? It is a fascinating process to me, as I'm sure you're discovering, right? As you're very intentionally choosing what to put in this 400 square foot home, you have to be, like you said, very intentional, very mindful, very selective. It's like when we go on a trip and we go into a hotel room. It feels amazing, right? Everything's in its place. Just what you need is there. Like it feels like a very intentional space, but our homes rarely feel like that.
No, because life takes over. And there's something you said a moment ago. It was about, you know, letting go of things once you make the decision in your home. For me, I had to decide. It happened last summer, so we hadn't put the house on the market. But we knew for 2 years we were heading that way. You know, I'm 50, going to be 56, he's 66, and we go to Costa Rica a lot for 3 weeks every year, and we want to spend more time there. Well, I thought it was the house I was attached to. And so last summer, we live on the water. I'm floating on my granddaughter's tube, and I'm looking up at the house. And for a while, I had been struggling with letting it go, not because of the house. And this is what I realized that day on the float. It was the memories of raising our 18-year-old grandson here, now she's 6.5-year-old granddaughter, the family memories, the birthday parties for our grandson that we had every year from the day he was born, right? And so as I was floating, I remember looking up at the house, and I suddenly just felt in my heart, and that's when I knew I was at peace. I said, oh, my God, all that's coming with me. None of that is being left behind. This is just a house that blessed us, and now it's time to bless other people. And it was that moment I could make the connection to, I am not leaving behind the memories. The house is now imbued with all that love, right? That was a big shift for me. And now as I'm preparing to go into the small little house, in fact, we got an offer yesterday, so you know what that is like going back and forth. So now I'm like, oh, my God, the little house isn't ready. What do I want to take with me? And I'm being intentional, as you said, and creating that spaciousness that is my desire for my life, as it sounds like it is for, well, I believe it is for so many people, even if they can't name it. So let's talk about that and more when we come back from our break. I'm here with Kerry Richardson of KerryRichardson.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Isn't it time for you to listen to your own internal compass? Your intuition, rather than listening to all those around you? When you learn how to navigate using your intuition, you'll discover how to hear your soul's whispers so you live a life of purpose, joy, and abundance. Soulwise Living mentor Laura Clark provides women with the empowering tools and support to help them tame their inner critic, calm their emotions, and ground themselves so they can hear, trust, and act upon their inner guidance. If you're ready to awaken your intuition, visit soulwiseliving.com to schedule a complimentary sacred soul chat, read Laura's inspiring blog posts, and discover an array of free supportive resources.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
So, Kerry, as you know, you and I are kind of both on that same journey, right? Wanting more spaciousness in our life and downsizing. I no longer call it downsizing. I go, it's right-sizing. Because for me, if
I love it.
Yeah, it feels right. Downsizing has this energy around it, like, and that's not what it is. For my family, it's nowhere right sizing, so we can make have more spaciousness in our life. So I find it really interesting how much of it is a spiritual journey as well as emotional, on top of being, you know, making the physical decisions of what stays and goes. There's layers, like you said, that come up, as they did for you when the coffee table sold. So I have a question for you that I think we should really talk about, because just about every national magazine is always talking about clutter and hoarding and all this. So people have this shame around clutter, right? Why do you think there's such a shame around clutter?
Gosh, this is a hot button for me, because one of the main things I try to do with people is to remove the shame from clutter. There's this idea of, you know, I think that people believe when they have a lot of stuff around them that they don't love, need, or use, it almost becomes part of their identity, and they see it as a reflection of themselves. And so I love to help people know that they are not their stuff. Their stuff is not them. When you see your stuff as that messenger and not as this nemesis or this enemy, you can almost have more compassion toward it. And that helps to remove the shame. But that is the number one thing I hear from my clients and students all the time, is it's so nice to know I'm not alone. It's so nice to no longer feel shame around it. You know, there's real shame around, being surrounded by stuff. And there doesn't have to be, right? It's when we give away our power to our stuff is when we can feel the shame build up. So I want you to think of, even when you feel the shame in and of itself is clutter. That's just emotional clutter. And so when you see it as such, you go, oh, I see. My soul's trying to get my attention again. It's just trying to get my attention through feelings of shame. Let me listen to it and hear what it has to say. But give yourself some space. I tell people all the time to, like, journal with your resistance, dialogue with your shame, like, give it space so it can express itself. When it has that space, it can then quiet down.
It's so true. And there's wisdom and lessons and insights in that feeling of shame, right? But we have to be willing to look at it. It's like any other emotion, anger, rage. There's something there that's waiting to be healed.
Exactly. Yes.
And the big thing for me, I think, and, you know, there's clutter, and there's all levels of clutter, right? You know, you can walk into someone's home and you can say to yourself, oh, my God, everything's so perfectly in place. But the homeowner's going, oh, my God, I hope she doesn't look here and all this. And I'm like, have you ever had a friend
so
like
true.
That? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Everything is like, she goes, oh, Linda, you just don't know what's under the beds, in the closets, in the drawers. But so see how our reference point to clutter is different for everyone?
Absolutely different for everyone. And, you know, and it's interesting that you just said that, because one of the things I also work with people on is identifying what your clutter symbolizes based on the type of clutter you tend to accumulate and where you tend to accumulate it. So actually on my website, kerryrichardson.com, when you sign up for my newsletter, you get a free e-workbook that helps you to see, like, I tend to accumulate the most of my clutter. I tend to stuff my clutter in closets and keep them out of sight. And so I want you to think about, like, okay, if you tend to tuck away your dirty little secrets, let's say, where else are you hiding in your life? Where else are you, you know, like wearing a mask or not showing up fully? Or, you know, if your clutter tends to accumulate in your attic, like I call that the graveyard for clutter. It's stuff that gets put up there and gets forgotten. It's the stuff we really don't want to deal with at all. Like, you can look at patterns in your life based on where your clutter accumulates and the type of clutter you accumulate. You know, people who accumulate a lot of paperwork clutter tend to have feelings of powerlessness. tend to have blocking money mindsets, tend to have a lot of fear and intimidation around like what they call adulting. You know, there's so it's really interesting the different types of clutter and what it can represent and where clutter accumulates and what that space can represent. If you've got a lot of clutter in your bedroom, it's a good chance you've got to work on relationships and not just your marriage, but it could be your friendships or your family dynamic. There's a real kind of symbolism to it that's quite interesting.
I love that. And I want to invite everyone right now to go to kerryrichardson.com and claim that free workbook and get started, right? Dive deep into this. I know from my own experience, working with clutter and looking at the messages is transformational in every area of your life. So when I met Carrie virtually online, I'm like, oh, I have to have her on the show because I loved how you talk about the topic and that you make it so easy to understand. And that's why it was really important that I have you here on the show, because it comes up whether I'm at a mastermind group or just with a circle of girlfriends, you know, having a coffee. It comes up more times than not about clutter and they can't get things under control. Now, everyone's clutter issues may be different as in the conversation, but it's a topic I think it keeps coming up more and more because I think we're all feeling overwhelmed by life. And as you said at the beginning of our show, the clutter that's showing up physically in your home is a manifestation of something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just, it's kind of like the physical clutter in your home is the one that I consider a temper tantrum of your soul. It's kind of like that's its last ditch effort to get your attention. You know, it's like, you know, when the whole idea of, you know, you're going to have an issue, you're going to have a problem, you're going to have a crisis, that whole hierarchy of universal taps. You can either listen to the whisper, the tap on your shoulder, or there's going to be clutter in much bigger forms, which can be illness, can be physical clutter in your home. But at some point, your soul is going to need to shake you to get your attention. And it's going to be very wise and selective with how it chooses to shake you. It's like that part of us, that little beautiful light inside of us, is the one who is trying to get your attention. And she's very clever. You know, I call her a loving little liar because she is a genius at pushing whatever buttons are the hot ones for you right now, which is why your inner dialogue can often change. You know, if you are looking to grow your business, let's say, and the inner dialogue talks about fear of putting yourself out there because of fear of criticism, et cetera. If that's the place that you're feeling vulnerable, those are the buttons she's going to push. Let's say that you do work on that, excuse me, and you now feel more confident in your abilities, in your boundaries, in your abilities to handle criticism, but you feel maybe not very smart technology-wise, those are the buttons she's going to push. She's very clever.
Oh, yeah, the button pusher. We all have one, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
And one of the things, too, is something you said earlier, and I'll paraphrase, is that it's there to teach us something about ourselves, but we have to be willing to look at it. We can't keep hiding from it and burying it and hide it in the closets, as, you know, we've all done. You mentioned something, I think it was in a blog post, it could have been on one of your videos, that you said clutter can be a good thing. And so for someone listening, they're like, well, we just talked about what clutter means, but what? How do you mean clutter can be a good thing?
Well, when you reframe your perspective around it and see it as a messenger, then it really is a good thing because, you know, now when you see it start to accumulate in your life, you now see it as a red flag of like, oh, I get it. Something's out of alignment. Thanks, clutter, for letting me know. So it becomes this kind of friend who alerts you to, hey, something's not right here. If you have, you know, like a friend who calls and complains all the time or any kind of toxic relationship, that's a form of clutter. So that when you recognize it as such, you can go, oh, I see. I need to stand up for myself more in my relationships, or I need to set better boundaries with people. When we see clutter as the messenger that it is, we can heal aspects of our life that we've likely struggled with for a long time. It really does become that transformative tool when we use it as such. Instead of seeing it as just another obstacle on our path, you know, we know that every obstacle on our path has a lesson within it. So it's no different with clutter. When you are feeling stuck, when you're feeling blocked, when you feel like you just can't get the wheels in motion, what is in your way? Is it limiting beliefs? Are you thinking that your dream just is impossible? Is it naysayers telling you that you're nuts? Believe me, I've had plenty of naysayers tell me I'm nuts about going into a tiny house. You know, so I have to think about if the naysayers, for instance, are really affecting me, then there's a good chance I need to shore up my confidence in my decisions, because if I was really strong within them, other people's opinions wouldn't matter. So that's when clutter can be a really good thing, is when you can see it as a tap on the shoulder that, hey, something over here needs your attention.
I love it. It's a great way to look at it. It's like a, in my words, a spiritual guideposts that show up as we need them, right?
Yeah.
And show up in our life and mm-hmm. go, hey, listen, you're falling back into those old habits and beliefs. Is there something triggering this old fear that's coming back up again? Because look what's happening that's manifesting here. So you shared so many great mm-hmm. insights today. And I want to invite everyone to go to Kerri, and that is K-E-R-R-I. Richardson.com, where you can download that free workbook Kerri was talking about, but also grab a copy of her book, What Your Clutter Is Trying to Tell You, Uncover the Message in the Mess and Reclaim Your Life. I am so grateful that you joined me today, and I look forward to staying connected and getting your message out there. It's such an important topic because it really can be life-changing when you see clutter from a different lens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I want to invite everyone, until next time, choose joy, choose love, and choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.